Please be seated. We've got about 20 minutes before we break for lunch, and so what I want to do with that 20 minutes is just talk about Jesus. Why I say that is that some years ago, I devoted time in writing to the story of Jacob. And so Genesis 32 is what I'd like you to turn your Bibles to and look with me at this passage in Genesis 32. And the reason I say this is that something happens in this story that is unprecedented in all of Scripture. It has no comparative, and it is essential in understanding the testimony that we've just heard. Jacob is a man of faith. He had received his father's blessing, Isaac, though he had done it deceptively with his mother, Rebekah. He was promised that blessing, but he took control with his mother, Rebekah. He lied. He has got a past. All of us have a past. And when he stole that blessing from the firstborn Esau, his twin brother, the words of Esau were so strong. In Genesis 27, verse 41, I am going to kill my brother. Rebekah, mother, sends, with the blessing of Isaac, Jacob, off to Mesopotamia to find a bride. He's running. And on the night of his running, he came to a town called Luz or Bethel, and the Lord met him. The Lord met him in a dream that was so real. Down came the ladder, angels of God ascending and descending, and he beheld the face of the Lord. He saw the Lord standing. Again, that man who was walking in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, the infinite incarnate one, there he is again, beholding Jacob, beholding him. He knows the face. For 20 years, he spends in exile. In 20 years, if you read the end of Genesis 31, he is a man of godly character and testifies that to his unusual, deceiving, unhelpful uncle Laban. The Lord sends him back. It is time to go back to the promised land. It's time to go back to the promises God gave him in Bethel. The promise is given to Abraham and to Isaac that one day your sons and daughters will have this promised land. So Jacob takes his family. He has got 11 sons under the age of 14. He's got flocks, he's got herds, he's got flock hands, shepherds, those taking care of it. No doubt enough weaponry to take care of any bandits that are coming. He comes to the river Jabbok just at the edge, about 50 miles away, there where the Jabbok feeds into the Jordan River. And that fear is inside of him, that fear of his brother. I shall not go into detail. He sends messengers to his brother. You can tell even in the messaging, the way it is messaged, that he's afraid. The messengers come back, not with a message from Esau, but with the news. Your twin brother, Esau, is coming with an army of 400. Eugene Peterson captures in the book, in his Bible translation, The Message, captures the verse of chapter 32, verse 7, that upon hearing this, Jacob was distressed. No, panicked. Fear came into him. And immediately he does what we all do when fear comes. We take control. He is going to figure it out. He's always beaten his brother. He's going to beat his brother again. But he cannot. His brother is now coming with his army. But what he can do in prevailing, at least he can save half his family. He divides his family. Half apart, go one way. Half go into the war. He saves half. Half die. At least it's something. In control. And then what he does in verses 9 to 11 is he comes to the Lord in prayer. My dear brothers, it is a strong prayer. It is a godly prayer. I wish we could spend a little bit of time in it, but let me just say this. It is a man of strong faith, because he does not come as a child. When a child comes in need, out comes the blurting need. First thing, but not in Jacob's prayer. He comes to honor the God of Abraham, the God of his father, the God of Isaac. He comes in reverence, remembering the loving kindnesses of the Lord. And second, he remembers the posture of his own soul, that he has not been worthy of the loving kindnesses bestowed upon him by the Lord. And then he says the words, and you'll find this actually in the prayer, in verse 11, the actual petition. He actually comes to that moment where he says before the Lord, please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. That confession of being afraid. If we had time, I would take you to that place where Sam Shoemaker, Bill Wilson, these two men who formed AA, Sam Shoemaker, Bill Wilson, who put those 12 steps together, the very heart of Jehoshaphat's prayer, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, faced with a great army like Jacob has faced, same prayer. We are powerless in the face of this enemy. We are powerless. Our eyes are upon you. And that's what our brother Chad just said. The foundations of step 1, 2, and 3 of AA always has been, right from the Bible. It is the position of not being in control, of looking at the enemy straight on and seeing it is more powerful and saying to the Lord, we are powerless, we are dependent upon you, and we surrender ourselves. Now, dear brothers, you've got to know, this is the exact opposite message the world gives us. Yes? What does the world say? Oh, tongues, that was lovely. You can always tell the charismatic meetings, now somebody interpret what you just said. Yeah, suck it up. You know, the heart of it is so simple. The world's message that sells, and I fear our motivational speakers in the church, always have the same message. We can do it. We can handle it. Courage comes from within. He did it. You can do it. Always the message. I learned this philosophy in my first reading of philosophy when I was 4. I did. I read the book, the philosophy book, at the age of 4. The little engine that could. Yes? Of course, yes. Of course, yes. Look at the mountain in front of you. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. Brothers, that message sells. That's called manhood in our culture. Wait till you see the biblical men. They come up and they go, ah! I can't handle it. It's bigger than me. I wish this is the end of Jacob's story. It is not the end of Jacob's story. I wish I could tell you what happened to Jacob. Is he gets his prayer. He says, Lord, I'm powerless. My eyes are on you. Handle Esau. Immediately he goes back into control. The age-old gift of control. Money. I'll buy him. And so, oh, he's brilliant. Jacob, the deceiving element inside of him. The prevailing element. This is always what we do. We always put it in control. So So he sends flocks and messengers, one wave. Flocks and messengers, second wave. Flocks and messengers, third wave. And underneath it, he says, that I may find favor, that I may appease his wrath, appease Kippur, Yom Kippur, atone for my sins, that I might buy him out. And what is the result? Oh, I wish I had time with you here. No, you have to eat. You know, in Africa, we would not eat. You know that, right? We would go to about 8 o'clock, then eat. Nowhere in Scripture is it like this. Nowhere. In the dark of night, a man comes. Tackles him. Down he goes. And Jacob wrestles him. Who is this man? We don't know in the dark of night. He's trying to kill him. Jacob fights back. Is this him? Is this Esau? Is this the battle of his twin brother trying to kill him? And they fight. Usually you'd think in a wrestling match it would be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes before one begins to prevail. An hour, 2 hours. Listen to how the Bible says it. All night. And what's so stunning about this, so stunning, is the man, this unknown wrestler, lets him prevail. He says, lets him prevail until he, by his finger, touches and breaks the hip, so that Jacob's body, from the waist down, has no power. Let me go, he said, for the dawn is breaking. The man does not want dawn to break. The moment dawn breaks, Jacob will see his face. He does not want that. Not yet, not now. Let me go. Let me go, says the man. And Jacob, oh, if he could have heard Chad's message, he would have gotten it. If he would have heard Bill Wilson and Sam Shoemaker in the first three steps, he would have gotten it. He would have said to the man, look, you've got power I don't have. You've clearly got power to bless. You've got power from above. And that's the whole point behind the scriptures. You do know that. Hebrews 7:7. Raise your hand if you've memorized it. Right. Right. It's not a famous verse, actually. But it's one to remember. The weaker is always blessed by the greater. And here the weaker with half his body broken, hearing the man's voice say, let me go, the weaker says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Go home and figure that out. I don't understand it. That's called fear. That's called panic. Because we, when we're afraid, it doesn't matter sometimes how much faith we have in the face of the circumstance. Oh yes, you can be filled with faith and filled with fear at the same time. Did you know that? Please, brothers, when you see a brother in fear and in panic, don't go up to him and quote 1 John 4:18. You know, perfect love, like, casts out fear. Get with the program. Slap a verse on him, brilliant you. Here's what I'll tell you to do. Walk alongside of him. Go the journey with him until he who is perfect love casts the fear out. Amen. And watch freedom come. Don't slap it on him, walk it with him. And if you got it, grab a brother to walk it through with you. I will not let you go until you bless me. And so our Lord teaches Jacob surrender. Much as Chad outlined. Tell me your name, says the wrestler. And Jacob has to say it. My name. I'm Jacob. Lovely name at the beginning. I was simply grabbing the heel of my twin brother. That's how I was named. It was a lovely name at the beginning. But I became heel tripper. I became deceiver. I became prevailer. I became the tricker. And so he confesses his past. And the Lord does what only the Lord can do with us. He says the words, "You shall no longer be Jacob." Down into baptism we go, into the death of the old man, until he takes us and by his mighty power, all that he does to put us to the death of the cross, he raises us up and says, "You'll have a new name." And that night was given the name like no other name, a name that lasts for all these centuries. The people of Jacob would be called it. The land would be called it. The church would be called it. His name is Israel. Isra means to rule, to prevail. All these years he had been Isra, Jacob. I can do all things. But now his name is Israel, the name of God written upon him. Elohim in the plural is El in the singular. And now the name of God is inscribed on his soul. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not in my power. Courage, my brothers, does not come from within. The world is lying to us. Courage comes from above. We can do all things through the champion. You've got a new name. We don't know when Jacob let go. We have no record that his limp was ever healed. The wrestler did not tell him how he was going to face Esau in the morning, whether Esau would win or not. The only thing the wrestler did is give him the blessing that I pray every man here gets before he gets in the car to go home. He let the sun hit his face. And Jacob beheld the man who had stood on that ladder 20 years ago. He beheld the incarnate, the infinite, the intimate, our Lord, our Savior. Don't let any preacher tell you that Jacob wrestled with an angel. They get that from Hosea 12, where he wrestled with Malach. That's the word messenger, yes. It can be translated angel, but it's the messenger of the Lord. He wrestled with the Lord who wrestled with him. Why? Because he named that place not I have seen the face of an angel. He saw the angels ascending and descending the ladder 20 years back. He saw God in the flesh, our Lord, our Savior. My dear friends, there is no greater blessing than that, than to behold Jesus, no matter our fears, no matter our Goliath. Doesn't matter how big and how horrible the devil's coming against us. We can do all things together through Christ who strengthens us. Yes? Yes? It doesn't matter if it's stage 4 cancer trying to take and steal our bodies and rob our life from here. Why? Because the one I've dealt with, the one you've dealt with, has conquered death, has he not? Yes. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. All it takes from us is the ability to be able to say, "Lord, I don't have it in my power to deal with this. The Esau's, the 400s, but this I know. Here I am, crying out to you, powerless, dependent, surrendered." That's how we were saved. That's how we live. And that's how we model biblical manhood to the next generation. Amen. Amen. Let's go eat.